Isn't it interesting? There's a message on here. Isn't it interesting that we remember those things that we repeat oftentimes, many times, and after all these years after high school, I can still remember the opening lines of three pieces of literature. The opening lines of The Tale of Two Cities, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and this famous line from Shakespeare's play. Now, the reason I remember all these things is because in my typing class, I had to type them over and over and over again. And in Shakespeare's play, Hamlet, we find this line, "Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and the arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take against a sea of troubles, and by opposing them, to end them." Now, by the slings and the arrows, Hamlet was referring to just a host of misfortunes and troubles in life that we all feel. How they come at us like slings, like stones from a sling, or arrows from a bow. And just like slings, stones, and arrows, they may wound us, they may harass us, and maybe not outright kill us, but as time goes on and the hurts of life build on, our lives slowly do fade away, and eventually death comes to us all. Now, we've all had these slings and arrows hit us in our lives. Just think about in elementary school, that first time you felt the pain of being picked on and rejected. Or a few years later, in middle school, as you were unjustly punished by a teacher or a principal. Perhaps it was the first time in high school that you were dumped by your first love. And as a young adult, you found that pain of being passed over in a promotion because you weren't quite as well-connected as someone else. As the years go by in middle age, you suddenly have that middle-aged crisis, don't you, as you realize your limitations and those dreams you once had fade away as the limitations of age first strike. As the years continue to advance, as you're entering your senior years, suddenly those friends at your high school reunion are no longer there. Family members pass away, and you begin to notice the aches and pains of life become more common. And finally, in the last of the years, you begin to lose one thing after another: your freedom, your mobility, your wealth, your possessions. And finally, the last stone and arrow hits, and your life fades away. You know, the Bible speaks of slings and arrows as well. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he doesn't speak of fortunes or fate throwing these arrows at us, but he says, actually, it is the devil who shoots flaming darts at us. Many today feel overcome with fear, don't they? They feel these darts. They feel these arrows and slings as the misfortunes that have occurred to us because of the pandemic have stricken their lives. If you're feeling this way today, I'm glad you're listening to this message, because God has a word of hope for you, a good word of promise. And we find that word in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. And here God says to us, "Fear not, for I am your shield." Let us now hear God's word. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great.' But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household shall be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir.' And he brought him outside and said, look towards the heavens, number the stars if you are able to number them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed God, and he counted it to him as righteousness. May God now add his blessing to this reading of his holy and infallible word. Now, as we examine this passage of Scripture, the first issue we must address is, does this word, does this promise that God promises to be our shield apply to Christians today? Because in the original context, obviously, it was a promise given to Abram, not to other people. And it was given to the Jews as the heirs of Abram. Well, I have good news to you. As we examine the promises of the new covenant, the answer is unequivocally yes. Yes. For Paul writes the Galatian Christians these words, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offsprings, heirs according to the promise. If that wasn't clear enough, let's read what Paul writes the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For here he says, all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. Yes, yes, yes. This promise and all the promises that were given to God's people in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant are yours. And this means that God promises to be your shield. So, what does this mean now? Now that I have shown you that this promise is for you, what does it mean at a practical level that God is your shield? Well, we don't carry shields around very much today unless we're riot policemen. But let's consider what a shield does. A shield is usually used in a battlefield. It's used to deflect those arrows, those sling stones, those flaming darts that we've already made reference to. Now, in a sense, when we hold up our shield, these darts and these arrows, they still hit us, don't they? Because the shield is basically an extension of ourselves. But because they hit the shield, they don't do permanent damage to us. They don't hit our vital parts. They don't hit our flesh and bone. They hit the shield. You know, Christ came to be our shield. Jesus came to have upon him the sufferings that were due us. And so Jesus is that shield. He's the one who takes all the flaming darts of the devil, all the misfortunes in life, and he absorbs them so that we are not permanently hurt. Now, I want to make sure you understand what this means. As I said, the arrows, the darts, they still bounce off our shield. They still come at us. They still strike us, in a sense. You know, so many people find these promises, they take them and they misapply them as Christians. They say, well, if you're a Christian, you're not going to have any trouble in life. You know, nothing bad is going to happen to you. You know, that's a ridiculous idea when you look at Scripture or just life in general, because so many godly people do suffer. We know that. We know that because Jesus himself suffered. He lived life where the arrows and the sling stones and the flaming darts were directed at him. But what this means is, just like the shield absorbs it so it doesn't do us permanent harm, so when God is our shield, God has protected us so that we will no longer be destroyed by these things, but rather strengthen them. You see, these sling stones, they make us really into battle-hardened champions on the battlefield of life. This is what James taught very clearly. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we read these words. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. Do you hear what James is saying? That you don't take joy in the pain and the hurts of life themselves. Those are bad things. But you take joy because what these things do for us is they make us complete. You know, the author of Hebrews says that Jesus was perfected, was made perfect by the things that he suffered. In other words, he was made a champion. He was made a battle-hardened veteran. Now think about soldiers and their reaction to the battlefield. When a soldier is green and poorly trained, they will flee at the first sign of danger. When the first arrow flies or the first bullet, they will run and flee from the battlefield. But a battle-hardened soldier is able to take their stand, just like James said. They're able to hold their ground. And so God is providing us a very encouraging picture here. He's saying, yes, you are going to go through hard times as Christians, but count it joy. Because when you've gone through all this, you are going to be able to stand. You, just like Jesus, will be perfected. God is our shield. You know, Abraham and Sarah faced many trials and tribulations. You can see the growth in their life as you read their story in Genesis. And, you know, I encourage you to do that this week with this sermon in mind and just kind of note how they kind of started off as little rookies in the faith but ended up as veterans in the faith. They had many trials, as I said, and one we see right here where Abraham in our text is doubting God because he and Sarah knew the pain of being childless for many, many, many years. But in the end, through all their suffering and pain, they became champions. Now, what is the key? What is the key to becoming a champion? How do we take up the shield? Well, if you look at our text again, chapter 15 in Genesis, we see at the end that we hear these words spoken to us. Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Don't you see here very clearly that it's faith that is the key? Faith is the way that we take up God's shield. That's how God becomes our shield, when we believe and trust in him. This is confirmed by what Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, where he tells us, take up the shield of faith. So what is God looking for in your life? What is he looking for in my life as he recruits us into his army? Well, he's looking for faith. He's looking for faith. You know, we oftentimes think that what God needs is someone who is powerful, someone who is strong, someone who is accomplished in life. And those are the ones that God's going to use and be able to use to his glory. But our text makes very clear that it's those who have faith that are counted as righteous. You know, Paul, he had to come to that realization as well. In his early life, he was a Pharisee. And he was working to become the Pharisee of Pharisees. And he says, you know, according to Phariseeism, I was blameless. I was righteous. I was the very best Pharisee there was. But he was unfit for the Lord's army. Not until he had faith in God, faith in Christ, was he able to be that battle-hardened veteran. That's why he writes to Philippians these words. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. You know, right now, our world is in a tremendous battle. We are facing the arrows and the sling stones of the coronavirus. The devil is doing all he can to destroy us as he throws arrow after arrow at us. Many around us, as we can see, are succumbing to this barrage. People's lives are being thrown out of whack, and some people have just despaired for life itself, just like Hamlet did in that famous passage. But you don't have to be one of those people. Christ Jesus can be your shield. That's, as I said before, that's why he came. He came to take and absorb in himself all those flaming darts the devil throws at us. So will you not rise to the occasion? Not by being perfect, not by showing your own strength, but by believing in God, and let God be your strength. Let God be your shield. And like Abraham, you too will become a champion. And so, let us not fear. Let us not give in to fear. For God says, I am your shield. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for this good word that we've heard today. So many in our world need to know this encouraging promise that God can be the one who absorbs all the damage that's thrown at us. Life indeed can be hard. It starts off hard as just a little child where we're brokenhearted by the way that people mistreated us. It continues through life with even more serious problems, with the death of a child, the death of a spouse, a loss of a job, the decaying of health, and finally death itself. But all these things cannot have victory over us if we make God our shield. For he is the one who is able to redeem those who trust in him. And so, Father, give us that faith that Abraham had, that faith that Paul had, that faith that so many saints before us have had, that we would be able to stand our ground. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we conclude this service, let us now hear those wonderful words that God promises us as he is our shield. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen. Please join us next week.